Our scripture reading this morning will come from the book of Philemon. Philemon, which comes right before Hebrews. And we'll be focusing this morning on verses 8 through 11, but I'm going to read the beginning verses also. So we'll be reading here for our scripture reading 1 through 11 with a special focus this morning on verses 8 through 11. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith, so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man, am now a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. Thus the reading of God's word as it comes to us from the book of Philemon. One of the key things that you need to understand about life is the authority structures that God has put in place. You deal with authority every day of your life. Authority comes from God, and each day that you live, God has given you specific authorities that you have to deal with. Husbands are authorities over their wives. Parents are authorities over their children. Elders are authorities over other church members. And God has even given us the civil authorities, presidents, governors, mayors, policemen, who rule or have authority over the citizens. So you really can't go anywhere or do much of anything here in this world without coming into contact in some way with authority that God has put in place. And for those who are entrusted with authority, it is a huge responsibility. And sometimes it's difficult for those in authority to juggle as to how they should best handle the authority that God has given and to treat those who are underneath them. On the other hand, for those who are underneath authority, they have the difficult task of learning to submit to the authority that God has put over them and to recognize how God is using that authority in their lives. And so it is essential that we have a biblical perspective on authority, that those in authority properly understand how to handle that authority and treat those under them, that those under authority properly understand how to deal with the authority that God has put under them. And that's one reason why God has given us the book of Philemon. The Apostle Paul is a man of authority. God has given him a unique authority greater than just about anyone else other than the other apostles. God appeared to him on the road to Damascus. The risen Lord Jesus Christ spoke directly to him. He saw the resurrected Lord. And the Lord Jesus commissioned him to go and bring the gospel to the world, to the Gentiles. As Paul writes to the letter to Philemon, he writes as an apostle, a man commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ, who has all authority in heaven and on earth. And he writes to Philemon, who is also a very important and great man. Philemon is a wealthy man. He owns slaves, as we're told. He owns a house that is so large, we're told in verse 1, that the church meets in his home. So Philemon is known to the world as a great man, mainly because of his wealth. And Paul has also written about his love for the church and for Christ. So God has placed the Apostle Paul in authority over church member Philemon. Paul, an apostle, carries this authority with all the recognition and glory and commissioning of Jesus Christ himself. And so as Paul writes this letter, there's an issue. And it's going to come down to an authority issue. Onesimus was Philemon's slave. Onesimus has run away from his master, and he's hooked up with the Apostle Paul in Rome. The letter does not tell us why Onesimus has run away, but it was common in that culture for slaves to run away for two main reasons. Either they stole from their masters and took a portion of their wealth, or their masters abused them and they ran away. Whatever the reasons Onesimus has run away, if you were a runaway slave, your punishment was severe. Very, very severe. In fact, the Apostle Paul is so concerned about Onesimus and the punishment he will bear for running away that we read in verse 18, "If he has done you anything wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me." The apostle is willing to take the punishment due Onesimus upon himself. Well, while in prison, while Onesimus meets the apostle, Onesimus becomes a Christian. We read in verse 16 that the apostle describes him no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, a dear brother. "He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord." Now think about what the apostle is saying. Onesimus, the lowest on the chain of society, a slave, and even lower than a slave because he's a runaway slave, is now described as a brother to his master, a brother in the Lord. Look again at verse 1. As the apostle begins this letter, he writes, "Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother." Timothy is a brother in the Lord. Timothy, who has faithfully served along with the Apostle Paul. This letter, which gives the appearance that it comes from Paul and Timothy. Timothy, a brother. Onesimus, the runaway slave, a brother. Paul recognizes the faith of Onesimus. He recognizes that though he is low on the society pole, he is a brother in the Lord and a Christian in the Lord. And in God's eyes, he's equal with Timothy. So Paul writes this letter on behalf of Onesimus, his brother, and Philemon's brother, so that Onesimus, the runaway slave, will experience mercy by his master for having run away and the punishment not be severe. So how does Paul, the man in authority, speak to church member Philemon? Look at verse 8. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. Paul is an authority. He admits in verse 8 that in Christ, in the boldness that he has in Christ Jesus, having been commissioned by Jesus Christ himself as an apostle, he has full authority to order Philemon church member to do what he ought to do. And no doubt, that would mean to order Philemon to forgive Onesimus for running away, to not punish him, and to treat him as a brother. Paul has all authority in the world to give such an order. We just prayed concerning Christopher Dysings on his way to boot camp. One of the things he's going to learn in boot camp is following orders. They learn to follow orders in the military about little things. They don't question orders. They follow orders because the orders are given, and in case they find themselves in danger, they will follow their orders and lives will be saved. Paul has the authority to give that kind of order, but he doesn't. Verse 9, he appeals to Philemon on the basis of love. Why doesn't Paul give an order? He has every right to give an order. Wouldn't it be easier as an authority to simply give those under his care orders that they can follow? And if they follow those orders, they know they're doing the right thing. Why does he make this appeal? The thing that he wants Philemon to do is a good thing. Why not just give an order instead of this appeal? Well, you notice what Paul appeals concerning. Verse 9. Yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. The word love picks up on what the apostle has said before in his prayer in verses 4 through 7. In verses 4 through 7, he gives thanks to God for remembering him in his prayers. When Paul prays and he thinks of Philemon, he gives thanks to God for Philemon. Why does he give thanks to God for Philemon? Because in verse 5, he's heard about his faith and his love for the Lord Jesus Christ and all the saints. As he's heard reports about this man Philemon and how he has used his wealth to benefit other believers, how he's opened his home to the church, Philemon has demonstrated his love for his Savior. He recognizes, as a man Philemon does, what his Savior has done for him. His Savior has died for him. His Savior has given his life for him. And when Philemon sees the saints, those fellow believers in Christ who have union with Christ, he treats those saints as he would treat Christ himself. And by his treatment of the saints and his love for them, he has demonstrated his faith and love in Jesus Christ himself. In verse 7, the apostle writes how Philemon's love has refreshed him. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, brother, because you have refreshed the hearts of the saints. His love for the saints has refreshed the hearts of the saints, and it has refreshed the apostle Paul and given him joy and encouragement that Christ, the presence of Christ, is working and alive on this earth. Well, now Philemon, master, is given a letter with an appeal to the apostle, from the apostle Paul, to show that same love that he has shown for the saints, for his runaway slave who deserves severe punishment. Paul doesn't give an order. He appeals to Philemon on the basis of the same love that he has for Christ, the same love that he has for the saints, to be kind to Onesimus and to treat him like a saint. But why? Why this appeal on the basis of love? Again, why doesn't Paul give that order? Well, notice further in verse 9, I then as Paul am an older man, an old man, he says. Some of your translations say that he's getting up there in age, or refers to his older age. And he is now, verse 9, also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Paul the apostle is not going to be around much longer. Paul the apostle is going to soon die. How will the church learn to make decisions if Paul the apostle only gives orders? Who's going to give orders once the apostle dies? Philemon and the church needs to learn to make decisions based on their love for Christ. You see, Paul as authority has every right to give elder, to give order. But as the apostle recognizes his authority, he recognizes who his Savior is and his role. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. I meant to say order and out came elder. And the reason I said that is because we were going to 1 Peter 5. In 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter instructs the elders. To the elders among you, he writes, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who will also share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. As Peter writes to those in authority in the church, as he writes to the elders, he warns them not to lord over their flock, not to give orders and instructions like their military commanders to the flock. But what they must do as those in authority is love and care for their flock. They must pattern their ministry after the chief shepherd who is going to appear, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. As that authority, as they have been given that authority from Christ, it hasn't been given so that they can give orders and lord it over under those under their care. When Christ Jesus himself came, did he come to give orders to his people? Did he come and have them surround him with serving him? Oh, when the Lord Jesus came, he came to serve. He came as all authority in heaven on earth to serve his people, to wash the feet of his disciples, to die on the cross for his people. You see, the picture that the apostle is demonstrating in the book of Philemon is the picture of what it means as an authority to serve those under his care. Paul has been called not to give orders, but to help those under his care make important decisions on the basis of their love for Christ. Paul is clearly giving direction here, isn't he? He is instructing Philemon concerning how he should treat his slave who has become a brother. But he isn't ordering Philemon with what to do. But as the servant who is the servant of Christ, the apostle serves Christ by serving Philemon, by making an appeal to him on the basis of love. As a pastor, an elder in the church, people often call me for advice and guidance. And there's certain things in the scriptures which are very, very clear. If somebody is wondering whether they should rob a bank, it's pretty clear that the commandments teach us you should not rob a bank. But there are a lot of areas, and those are the ones I receive calls about, where people wonder, how should I handle this? What should I do concerning this? And sometimes, as a pastor or elder, you can discern, perhaps, what way you would go if you would do it. Sometimes it's easier to give an order or a command, do this. But the much better thing is to direct them to Christ, to direct them on the basis of love, as Paul does, on their love for Christ, how to best respond to that situation. And let them make that decision on their own. You see, this is what Paul is getting at in verses 8 and 9. He is instructing the church. He's instructing church elders not to lord it over their flock and to give them orders and clear direction and tell them what they have to do on every little account. But their job as servants of Christ is to direct them to their Savior, to give them direction, and to let them make those important decisions on the basis of love before the Lord. Now, we mentioned at the beginning about other authorities in our lives. We have husbands over wives. Our husbands, those placed in authority, called to lord it over their wives. Is that what that means in the scriptures when God says, husband, you're head of the wife. You give her orders and she follows. No, that's not what the scriptures teach, is it? The scriptures teach us that husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. That means that they're servants. That means that as those in authority, they're the first to serve. They're the first to demonstrate their love and their care for their spouse. That means that as they have their wife in and they serve together in the home, raising their children or serving the Lord in some other way, that reflection of Christ and the church comes through to those around him. You could come home and say, honey, I order you to make dinner. Maybe some of you do that. Hopefully not. But how much more if the dinner is made out of love? You see the difference? Paul is appealing as he does because he's not sent as one to give orders and commands. He's sent as one who is called first to serve and then to direct those under his care on the basis of their love for Christ to serve along with Christ and to guide and direct. Well, not only does Paul then appeal for those in authority to be the ones who serve and to treat those under their care like a runaway slave, like a brother, he also has words for those who are under authority. Verse 10, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Onesimus is described as Paul's son. And depending on what translation you have, mine doesn't have it, but the word begotten is used. Paul describes Onesimus as his begotten son. Begotten in the faith, Onesimus has come to understand Christ and salvation through the ministry of Paul. As Paul demonstrated his love for Onesimus, he's patterned the Father's Son after the Father and Son. For Paul to describe Onesimus as a son means that Onesimus must have served as a faithful son, as a faithful son to his Father, as the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, came to serve his Father as a faithful son. Father, if it be your will, take this cup from me. But if it be not your will, I will go. Those under authority also have the responsibility to serve in such a way that they serve faithfully those that God has put over them. Onesimus, a runaway slave, is being called also to serve as a faithful slave. There's nothing in this letter that says from Paul, Philemon, slavery is wrong. Onesimus must be set free as a slave. In other letters, Paul refers to slaves and he describes them that they should be faithful to their masters. You see, the apostle is setting up a wonderful balance which can be fulfilled only in Christ. It's the balance of a master who doesn't treat his slaves that they sit in the back of the bus, that they have a separate drinking fountain, that they live on the other side of the tracks. But it's a master who treats his slave by sitting at the communion table with him in the church that meets in his home. And that slave who has been called by God as a slave is to serve his master as faithfully as he serves Christ. How is your serving? How do you handle the authority that God has given you? How well do you serve under those under your care? How faithfully do you serve those over you? Paul doesn't order you to do it. But Paul appeals on the basis of your Savior, who served his Father perfectly, who served you perfectly, to serve those he's given in your life with the same faithfulness as he did. Amen.